should tell you right now that I don't think you should ever gamble on anything. I got Manny Ramirez, winning the 2011 Comeback Player of the Year.
Walker on the game with four. Kemba Walker. Step back. Walker. Corey and Kemba does it again.
Ball with a three. Right between the eyes.
Their only lead, the Timberwolves tonight, was a 2-0, trying to win it here. Love!
Got it!
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Is that great basketball or what?
This is the Backdoor Cut, a meat sauce production.
This is the Backdoor Cut on KFAN.com. My name is Mike Gallagher from the Vikings Production Studio, KFAN Studios, Clear Channel conglomerate of the Upper Midwest, 1600 Utica Avenue Southeast, St. Louis Park, Minnesota, overlooking the Minneapolis skyline, the glorious West End, Toby Keith, which my co-host Brett Cloutier is very familiar with, and a number of other sights and sounds on this beautiful, mild, but also balmy summer day. Brett Cloutier, you don't know what it's like down here because you never come back anymore, but you are up in Brainerd in the very, I'm guessing it's what, like 65, 70 degrees. It's perfect. Nice little breeze off the lake. Everything's just hunky-dory and golden, isn't it?
As our avid basketball fans of the Backdoor Cut know, usually we jump right into when we talk basketball. In Variety, we usually like to, you know, hang out, chat for 8 to 10 minutes. So we'll give them a brief, you know, glimpse of that here. How was it in Minneapolis? Because all I saw on Twitter was that it was like 196 degrees and 4,000% humidity. I'm like, we're only 2 hours north of you. How much different can it really be?
You guys are we're soft down here. That's the difference. We can't take the heat. We can't take the humidity. And, you guys up there roughing it in the wilderness, you're pretty used to that kind of stuff where it's, you know, conditions, 20 inches of snow, you're good. 100 degree temperatures, you're fine. Here we like everything very to a T. 70 and sunny to 80 and sunny is what we can deal with. Clouds start to roll in, we freak out, and it's over for us.
Yeah, the one day it was very odd. I think it was the last day of the storm. Maybe it was Thursday or Friday. It was literally 70 degrees here. And I'm looking on Twitter, and I'm getting people going, second day in a row over 100 degrees. I go, how does that work? That there's a 30 degrees difference just 2 hours away.
You're not a meteorology major, are you?
They don't pay us the big bucks to figure that out. So I guess the rhetorical question on these airwaves, but it just seems really goofy, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know how weather works. It's way above my pay grade, and I don't exactly know above my pay grade. There's currently nothing, so I guess everything's above my pay grade. But KFAN.com is where you can find us on the Meat Sauce page on air tab, right under his big face. Is our big podcast, our nice little backdoor play that we've drawn up. This is the basketball half hour, variety hour. We may or may not do this week. Brett Cloutier, Kelsey Schultz, and Lindsey Gensler are going to be two of our upcoming guests. Nick Nelson's off to Vegas. Good luck to him. Twins blogger extraordinaire, twinsdaily.com. He's off to Vegas. Hopefully he makes it back in one piece and can tell us many stories. It would be nice to get Kelsey, Nick, and both of us on the air to hear all kinds of stories. It might get ugly and might not even be airable with all the extreme stories Nick and Kelsey may have from the last couple months. But the Variety Hour is going to be up at the very latest early next week. So we should hop right into basketball since this is the basketball hour on KFAN.com and bringmethenews.com. Brett, there is something amiss around the Minnesota Timberwolves facility. We know it's Target Center here in Minneapolis, and it doesn't sound good. Kevin Love, in this past week, has made some comments that have stirred things up. I want to win. I'm not afraid to go on the record about my feelings. My patience is not high. Would yours be, especially when I'm among a prominent group of greatness surrounding itself with greatness? All these Team USA guys seem to have great players around them. It's tough seeing all these guys that are young and older who have all played in the playoffs. When they start talking about that, I have nothing to talk about. If I don't make the playoffs next year, I don't know what will happen. Now, here's my issue, Brett, right off the bat, before we get too far into this. You know, firstly, you just signed a contract. You signed a contract that, granted, it was before the season, so you didn't know exactly what your potential could be. You didn't know that you were going to put up 26-13 and be considered a top, on this show, 7 player in the league. But you signed the contract, and the team brings in Ricky Rubio after drafting him. Made some mistakes with Johnny Flynn, Corey Brewer, Wes Johnson. I guess the list goes on. But before Ricky Rubio gets injured last year, you're on pace, right in the fringe of that playoff spot, that 8th, 7th spot in the playoffs. And Rubio goes down with the ACL tear. Pekovic goes down after that for the remainder of the season. And you lose, what was it, 17 in a row to end the season? Something like that. Just an ungodly amount of games to end the season. So I think this is really – maybe he is a product of his surroundings right now since he is on the 2012 U.S. Olympic team, surrounded by Kobe, LeBron, all the greatness, Durant, guys that have been there, guys that have just won championships, guys that have multiple championships. So I'm sure he does feel a little out of place. But doesn't he have to think it through a little bit more and say, well, you know, the team's pretty much doing what they can. This offseason they've been aggressive. Rubio came in. He was brilliant. That was a good move. We were right on the cusp of the playoffs. But instead he's looking at the result at the end of the season, where if everything would have continued without injury, you never know what would happen with this team. They could have been in the playoffs, and then you never know. Brett, I think this is a little closed-minded and narrow-minded of Kevin Love, especially at this time when the team has been so aggressive this offseason with Batum, with Buttinger, with Alexi Shved, who we signed today, who we'll talk about a little later. They've been aggressive. They've tried to shore up this team and keep Kevin Love happy. I think he really is outside his limits here.
Here's my thing with Kevin Love. Can you imagine him sitting over there preparing for the London Olympics? He's got to be like the girl in the group of friends who doesn't have a boyfriend. All the other girls sit there and talk about their boyfriend, talk about their playoff experiences. He just must be feeling kind of sad and feeling really low on confidence. That, or I think it's gamesmanship. As we know, Kevin Love signed that 4-year max contract, but it gives him the option to opt out after the third season.
Yep.
And David Kahn, you know, one really kind of went, I don't want to say shady, but he really went, obviously, pro Ricky Rubio and kind of reflecting that Ricky Rubio is the face of this franchise, more so than Kevin Love, by obviously saving that 5-year max contract for Ricky Rubio, which he'll be doing a couple of seasons. So I part of it thinks, you know, it's Kevin Love feeling a little insecure about himself playing around all these, you know, phenomenal athletes, phenomenal basketball players. But I also think it's part of him just, he hasn't really been in the limelight for a couple of months. Sure, he was on Jimmy Kimmel Live a couple weeks ago. But for the most part, you haven't heard from him. And this is a guy who just thrives off of attention. If it was during the strike, he was writing for Grantland.com. If it was playing up the bit that his uncle was in the Beach Boys, just going to UCLA and leaving to the smaller comforts of Oregon. You know, he really loves the limelight. I just think he hasn't been able to talk to someone from Yahoo or from CBS Sports or from ESPN in a really long time. So he's given the opportunity, and why not start to turn some heads? Do I think it's a legitimate gripe? No. Play one more season under that contract, and then come talk to us next offseason. If the pieces that were in place were not satisfactory enough, or not substantial, or not even average enough, then sure, gripe about next offseason. But let it play out. I mean, the offseason has been underway for not even 2 weeks yet. And it's July 10th, and he's making these gripes a week into the offseason. I just don't buy it. I think he's starving for attention. I really don't think it's his true thought.
And he is picking that time because he is surrounded by those guys. What else could this team do, though? I mean, they're trying to bring in Batum for a deal that, God, I guess, you know, depending on the stipulations of his incentives and things like that, what, 4 years, 45, and then possibly up to 50. Max contracts right now are going for 4 years and $58 million. Roy Hibbert, who we'll talk about in a second, who is kind of hindering us from getting Nicholas Batum, he was 4 years, $58 million. That's a max contract. So you've got the organization going out and trying to sign a guy for almost a max deal. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe he's looking and saying, Nicholas Batum, are you kidding me? This guy's worth almost as much money as I am. He's getting close to a max contract. Maybe he's not happy that Nicholas Batum is one of those guys that's going to be brought in. Maybe he doesn't think he's talented enough. When it comes down to it, Brett, I don't think this team can do a whole lot more. And if, like you say, they're saving that max deal, that 5-year deal for Rubio, that could be another thing that would grind his gears. If it were up to you, if it were up to me, I don't know, I'd have to take Love personally because of what he's shown so far. But if it comes down to it and Rubio is up, Love wants out, you have to pick one. Are you choosing giving Rubio that 5-year or giving Kevin Love that 5-year?
Well, you'll be able to give, you know, the way it works, you will have from guys who are on your current roster at the time of the collective bargaining agreement was reached, you are able to give a 4-year max contract and a 5-year max contract, regardless of where your salary situation is. But with Kevin Love, I wonder if it's not that he's upset with Nicholas Batum and that's their big splash, or Brandon Roy, who doesn't have any cartilage in his knee that we talked about with Meat Sauce last week.
Yep.
I wonder if it's more the fact that, you know, you look at a guy like Darko Milicek. He's been synonymous with comedy ever since he stepped foot in the NBA when he's drafted number 2 overall by the Detroit Pistons. Everyone thinks of Darko, you think of a joke of an NBA player. So I wonder if he's a little lukewarm that guys like Darko haven't been amnestied. A guy like Brad Miller, who's going to retire, or a guy like Martell Webster, their team options haven't been declined. I wonder if he just isn't really involved in the day-to-day and understanding all aspects of the process of the offseason. He still sees Darko Milicek on the Timberwolves roster and Martell Webster on the Timberwolves roster, and he's like, well, those guys are atrocious. I've played with them. They're bad basketball players. why do I need to go back and play a Darko Milicek? If that's his case, I get it, because who would ever want to play with Darko? He's an awful basketball player. We've learned that since he was drafted in 2003. He's a bad basketball player. But I don't think the Batum and kind of comparing himself to Batum really holds too much strength, because he wants good players. The Timberwolves didn't make the playoffs. As we've learned in the NBA and in most professional sports, if you aren't a good team, you're going to need to overpay if you want to bring in top-end or even above-average talent.
Look at this team, though. I mean, you got to look at the people that are on it. When completely healthy, you got Rubio, you got Love, and now you got Roy, a guy that was a franchise player.
The problem maybe that Kevin Love has seen is that maybe too many people are putting faith in Brandon Roy and expecting him to be Brandon Roy when he was 23, or even expecting him to be Brandon Roy when he played at the University of Washington. And let's not forget, Brandon Roy is 27 years old, so he is young. He has no cartilage in his knee. We can't expect, not we and everyone, every Timberwolves fan, cannot expect you're going to get solid production from Brandon Roy. What you get is going to be icing on the cake. That's all I'm looking at. If he gives you 6 points a game, you're happy with it. If he gives you 26 points a game, you're happy with it. If he is sitting in a suit and tie, Gucci, Armani, on the bench every game, you're happy with it, because you don't know what to expect from Brandon Roy, a guy that retired from basketball and has no cartilage in either knee.
For a quote-unquote bad team, I think this team is extremely talented, with Pekovic at center, since you think he's so great. Williams, a guy that's apparently, the organization says today, untouchable after it seemed like they wanted to trade him and couldn't get rid of him fast enough over the last few weeks. It looks like to me, like on this on paper, this team is getting deeper, and part of the reason they are getting deeper is your guy, Alexei Shved. Alexei Shved signed today by the Minnesota Timberwolves. 3 years, $10 million is what it's sounding like. We're not exactly sure on the details yet since it happened only a few hours ago. Alexei Shved, 6'6", 190, guy that's played for CSKA in Moscow. A lot of people are saying his teammate, Andrei Kirilenko, who left when the lockout came about, is the second best player on the team. That this Alexei Shved is the guy that people should be excited about. Cleveland and Memphis were interested in him before we tied him down today. A point guard by trade, but a guy that at 6'6", 190, very versatile. John Krasinski, AP guy, has been tweeting that, you know, it can add some versatility in the fact that, well, now you can maybe move Barrera or Ridenour, guys that didn't exactly produce what you wanted last year. Guys like with Ridenour that are a little older, maybe don't fit so well with this team. Shved is a guy that I'm sure Brett is going to come off the bench, maybe be that eighth or ninth guy, depending on if you get Batum. But he looks like a guy that's going to bring a lot of energy. The leading scorer for CSKA Moscow, and obviously, as you know, in the EuroLeague, except for the elite players, a lot of people play a whole lot of minutes. He was getting 21 a game, dropped 11 points in that time last year. So with Shved, a guy that really not a whole lot of people know a lot about because he isn't exactly a big name like the other guys that have come over, like the Ginobili's, like the Nowitzki's. But a guy that is athletic, looks like he can shoot a bit. He had a couple seasons where he was 45-46% from beyond the arc. So an addition that people may not know a lot about, but an addition also that people maybe start to get excited about when they watch him play a little bit, when they see the athleticism, and when they watch him shoot.
Here's what you look at his draft express player profile. You see phrases such as extremely fluid, creative player, and ability to create his own shot to just stick out, because those are facets of an individual's player game that the Minnesota Timberwolves haven't had in recent memory, aside of Ricky Rubio this past season. I mean, Wes Johnson can't create his own shot. He doesn't seem extremely fluid. So he's probably going to be somewhat of an upgrade over the Wade Ellingtons, over the, you know, Wes Johnsons, over the Martell Websters. Probably a better option than an undersized J.J. Barrera or Luke Ridenour at the two. Nice against inferior competition, but against good teams, they just got overmatched on the defensive end. Again, I think you can expect a little more from him than Brandon Roy right off the bat, just because he's healthy. This is his first time in the NBA. He's obviously going to be chomping at the bit to get an NBA action. Now, some comparisons I've read compare him to Goran Dragic, former Phoenix Suns point guard. He's been a nice little, you know, in Houston Rockets. He's been a nice little role player, you know, in his day starting some games for the Houston Rockets this past season. And you know, I mean, if we can take that, that's all right. Again, and it's not the splashes that obviously Kevin Love's looking for. So it's not, obviously you're not in the Dwight Howard talks, but it's going to be a guy who's going to be an upgrade over what you had. And sure, he's never played in the NBA, and you never really know how those EuroLeague numbers are going to transfer over. But it sounds like from all the reports I've read, and what people in the know are saying about him, he's going to be a pretty solid role player for the Timberwolves.
I'm not as much in the know as Krasinski or any of the, or Bucher, or any of the guys that are super plugged into the NBA, but I talked to you a little bit earlier. He kind of reminds me of a little bit of a Manu Ginobili. Poor man. I think I said homeless man's.
Homeless man's
Manu Ginobili. And the fact that he's got kind of that European That European pedigree where he's herky-jerky off the dribble, athletic, can finish at the rim, although he is a little more slight. He might want to add a little weight to keep up with these NBA guys that are inside, such as the Ibakas, the Gasols, as you were talking about with Spain. Inside, they're going to be very formidable when we were talking about the Olympics earlier as well. But the athleticism, the shooting a little bit. Ginobili wasn't a great shooter coming into the league. I'm a little skeptical about the shooting of Shved, too. He's been kind of up and down throughout his career, but that's something you can improve. Defense, obviously a liability. I mean, that's it comes with the territory with any European player. But again, you know, for the price, a nice addition, role players, high upside, 3 years, $10 million, not a great bust potential as far as wasting money. So a very interesting signing to me. You mentioned the Dwight Howard deal, and this is kind of something, Brett, that with this being now generally being going to be more of a Minnesota Timberwolves and Minnesota Gophers podcast, we're going to try and tie in some national items as well, since our basketball segment usually is that. Looking at the Dwight Howard deal, this seems unbelievable to me. How many teams continue to get tied in here? And the Magic and the Nets are obviously at the core of it, trying to get the fairest deal possible. And you look at Cleveland hopping in. You look at Charlotte even possibly hopping in. The Clippers even hopping in, perhaps. So there's so many different things that are going on in this deal. You look at it and say, okay, well, at the moment, with some of the rumored deal, Nets would get Howard, Jason Richardson, Chris Duhon, Earl Clark. Magic get 3 first-round picks, 2 of them from the Nets, 1 of them from the Clippers, and a package around Brook Lopez. Cavs get Chris Humphreys, Quentin Richardson, and then eventually in the end, the Clippers get Marshawn Brooks. And you look at it and you say, this is just a jumble. This is a cluster. This is just an absolute cluster of things that I'm sure on paper, once you all add them up, will make sense. But right now, it all seems so disjointed and so not fluid and so nonsensical. Where you look and say, the natural thing to do is, well, since we got a couple needs, we could use another big guy, like maybe a Marshawn Brooks, like maybe a Brook Lopez. You start to look at that from your team's standpoint, and you say, boy, is there a possible way we could hop it and just maybe poach a guy like a Jason Richardson? Guys that aren't as important to this deal but would fit a need for your team. Why hasn't Minnesota, and obviously this is kind of a pipe dream for most Minnesota fans, why aren't they hopping in and saying, you know what, we can take Jason Richardson. We've got a first-round pick. And, you know, if you want to go and have us give a first-round to Orlando and get a Marshawn Brooks, a Jason Richardson, yeah, whatever it would be, why not? Why not do it?
Remember the last time the Timberwolves got involved in a blockbuster trade like this quickly, two off-season trade deadlines ago?
Oh, boy.
Anthony Randolph, Carmelo Anthony trade. Yeah. We kind of did poach someone in that situation. We threw in, a second-round pick, or maybe it was, you know, someone's carcass for the rights to Anthony Randolph and his emotional disorder.
Bucket of women's balls, yeah.
It didn't work out too well for the Timberwolves last time around. I mean, he's an enigma at every stop he's been at, and he was in Minnesota, too. So maybe there is some, you know.
Chris Humphreys is from Minnesota. Bring Chris Humphreys in.
One of us. Hey! But it's going to be tough. I mean, obviously the Timberwolves have bigger concerns. They're obviously going to try to work out a sign and trade, or as all the experts like to call it, an S&T.
S&T. Your favorite term.
For Nicholas, an S. Let me go on 30-second rant on S&T. Come on. We don't need to abbreviate everything in America. I get America's living in 140 characters in 2012. I get it. Everything needs to be on Twitter. Let's not abbreviate sign and trade. It's only 12 characters as is, at most. Why do we need to call it S&T? It's not a drink. Okay, it's not a drink. It's not a gin and tonic. Okay, it's not a soda and tonic. It's a sign and trade. Call it a sign and trade. Okay, good. Now that's out of my system. David Kahn obviously has some other things going on with Batum, if he's got to figure out a sign and trade with that. Obviously, he was having some correspondence while before he signed Alexi Shved. He got the Brandon Roy situation. Still talking to Jordan Hill. Still talking to Stizma, former Boston, restricted free agent from Boston. So there's a lot of pieces and parts that, you know, David Kahn's working with, or I think with the Dwight Howard, I think stay away. It's just a situation where you want to stay away because there's so much smokescreen, there's so many rumors, and nothing seems to ever get done. And I don't even know if something will. I'm going to wait until it says, breaking, Dwight Howard has been traded to FC Barcelona of the EuroLeague.
You don't want Sunday out of Gaines or Armand Johnson or Luke Walton or Damian James?
Luke Walton, yeah. There's
Luke Walton would probably fit right. We had Brian Cardinal. We don't need Luke Walton. We had Brian Cardinal. We don't need another guy like Brian Cardinal.
If we can get Bill sitting 3 rows behind the hoop like the Gophers had with Ralph Sampson Jr. and watching his son's games the last couple of years. I think it'd be worth it.
You mean
Bill Walton's been there sprawled all over three rows of seats? I think that'd be worth it.
You mean getting one of these?
Turn the music up. Let it feed you. Let it drive you. And then let it flow. Let it grow. Let it rain.
I want sound bites like that again. Everybody that was a good soundbite has left this town. Randy Moss is gone. He's out in San Francisco turning heads. Yeah, Mike Tice, who is just a complete moron, who, okay, calm down. You know, the whole bit, go Eagles, E-A-G-L-E-S. All those guys have left. I want Bill Walton back. Bring me Luke.
Don't sign me up for that one. I'm staying away from any Dwight Howard rumor. I don't want the Timberwolves' name tied to it because there's so many rumors. Okay, you're the 14 guys on the New Jersey Nets who are now going to be traded. Now what if you don't get traded? I mean, I know it's part of the business, but there are so many names being thrown around and so many relationships that are going to be burned. I just don't think that it's something you want to be a part of, especially with Dwight Howard being the diva, being the needy player that he's been over the last 12 months. He got Stan Van Gundy fired. Now he wants to leave Orlando. He got Otis Smith fired. Now he wants to leave Orlando. I mean, what do you want? Do you want a new regime in Orlando to kind of spark you in your last year? Do you want to go to New Jersey? What do you want? What is his deal? I just don't get what Dwight Howard's deal is. And I'm a little upset that Dan Gilbert and the Cleveland Cavaliers are getting involved with this. It was only 2 years ago that Dan Gilbert was burned by the same superstar, you know, determining the destination off of money and where he can get a championship. Why is he getting involved with Dwight Howard in the same situation? Howard not even being a free agent. And when he showed so much animosity towards LeBron, writing the infamous Comic Sans letter, why is he getting involved with it, but helping a smaller franchise shed Dwight Howard to a bigger market and get 8 cents on the dollar?
Dwight Howard deal.
Disease.
And you're probably right. We shouldn't have too much of a problem of it, or, excuse me, part in it. Taking a step back, Batum, like we were talking about, Roy Hibbert deal matched by Indiana. Now it looks like there's been a number of different reports on each side. And my angle on the Batum deal now, with the four-year, $45 million contract on the table, Portland with the cap space to re-sign him, Batum saying, look, I don't want to come back here. I want to go to Minnesota. I don't like the layout here. Paul Allen, get me out of here. And Paul Allen saying, today, well, you know, after saying we're going to match any offer, especially if Roy Hibbert doesn't come here, we're going to match any offer that anyone gives. Now, today he goes off on the record and says, well, I think we should probably do what's best for the team and maybe throwing $10 million a year at, quite frankly, Brett, who I see to be a number three on a very good playoff team, perhaps title team, when he's at his peak. That's how I see Nicholas Batum. And when you look out in Portland, you've got Aldridge, who's a number one. But then you have nothing after that if you don't have Batum. If you do have Batum, he's a number two. They're probably going to win 30 to 35 games. I'm sure they don't want that team to have the same makeup as an unsuccessful team did this year. You've got my guy Damian Lillard, who shoots like in the 96th percentile off the dribble or whatever they were saying on the NBA draft breakdown of the sabermetrics of basketball. But you look at Batum, $10 million a year guy. You have Hibbert matched. Portland's got the option to re-sign him. And I'm just not sure. I don't want to put it to bet. And that's the part is, you know, everyone's saying he's going to resign over in Portland. Well, you've got a lot of power if you're Nicholas Batum saying, I don't want to go back. You're seeing how the Dwight Howard thing's playing out. It's a mess. I'm not as big of a name as Dwight Howard, but there is a lot of money tied to me, and this could get just as ugly for you as it could for me. I think what's most likely, or as the Howard deal, excuse me, I think what's most likely is a sign-and-trade in S&T, as you were talking about. And that scares me because looking at this team, it looks to me like you're going to have to give up Williams or Pekovic. One of those I'm in favor of. But if it's Williams, I'm not getting too enthused about this, especially paying a guy $10 million a year.
Well, if it's Williams, I'm absolutely against it.
Yeah.
Pekovic, you can talk me into But Pekovic, who plays center for us?
Jordan Hill!
Woo! You're going to bring him in. You don't have a center.
Jordan Hill.
Do you have room for Jordan Hill economically?
Well, probably not, with all the money you're throwing to Batum.
Right, so who'll play center? Kevin Love is going to play there far too
much. Alexi Shred could play center. He's 6'6". He could grow a few more inches.
Yeah, he can play everywhere else.
He's versatile, though. You have versatility.
So now they say that they're not trading Derek Williams, so you have to take that with a grain of salt, because you thought that for sure we're trading him this offseason. And so he's a guy who you know how much I love. It's documented 2 years in the backdoor cut basketball segment showing how much I love Derek Williams. I think he's going to be an all-star in the league. Give him a full training camp, give him a full season, and he'll be all right. I'm not sold on Nicholas Batum. I don't think he's a number three on a, on a title team.
I think potential title team, yeah.
I just don't see it. I mean, his player efficiency rating over 4 years is average at 15.4. Obviously, it was in the 17.
Those were his first 4 years in the league, though. You can't do that to him.
Sure, sure. But it shows its growth. So why? Okay, and I know you're being devil's advocate. So am I a little bit. But why flip Derek Williams, who had one, condensed rookie season where he didn't have the proper training? Why would you bail on him so quick to bring?
I wouldn't. No, there's no way.
For those who do, for the naysayers who, let's get Derek Williams out of here, or our guest last week saying Derek Williams' value will never be higher than it is right now. Let's get him out of here and bring us Nicholas Batum. Well, no. Derek Williams, has only played 1 year, Batum has played four, and we're giving Batum these outs. He's only been 4 years in the league. I don't know, $12 million a year for Nicholas Batum. For 36 minutes a game, average, just 16.4 points, which is solid. Only 39% from three. Bringing a guy like Chase.
You've got Budinger.
You got Budinger.
You got Shred.
48% from the corner three last season, Budinger.
Stop using that stat. It's just such a pointless stop. You need to stop using that stat. It's pointless.
I won't see how you're going to how dropping $12 million on Nicholas Batum, who's just 40% from the three, is worth it. Even when you have to throw in a piece like a Nicole Pekic or maybe a Derek Williams to get him here, if you need to trade anyone this side of Darko, Wayne Ellington,
players no one wants.
Exactly. Well, players. Well, that's my point. Is if you need to throw in a legit NBA player, Nicole Pekic, Derek Williams, for a guy you're already overpaying for, I'm against it. I'm staying away on the Timberwolves if you got to S&T that deal.
1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3,
Pody's got to go. The three. Got it!
This is the three-pointer, and we got to go quick on this one. This is a perfect transition, Brett Cloutier. We're talking about Batum and possibly or not maybe coming here and having to give whatever we have to give to get him. The top three options if Nicholas Batum is not signed left on the market. Number one is Courtney Lee, Brett Cloutier.
Yeah, no, I like Courtney Lee. Courtney Lee has been a nice role player. He's bounced around the league a few teams. Most notably, he's been with the Nets, with the Houston Rockets. One of Edelman's guys, you know, he played with Edelman at Houston. Been a solid player. I think he's going to Boston. It seems like they're pretty enamored with him. And Ray Allen going to Miami. They're going to need to bring in a younger, poor man's version of Ray Allen. And Courtney Lee kind of fits that bill.
Courtney Lee off the board for you, apparently. My next choice, Lou Williams, who says he's not going back to Philadelphia because he's bitter that Nick Young is going back to Philadelphia, also a shooting guard. He's gotten consistently better throughout his time in the league. He was a 15-point-per-game-a-year guy last year. 36% from three, not fantastic, but a guy that's an attacker, a slasher, and at the shooting guard position, I don't think we need much more than 15 points per game.
Yeah, Lou Williams, a guy who came out of high school, really never found his niche in the NBA. Then with Philadelphia this year, he got on with them, got on with the Doug Collins coach team, and really found his niche as a sixth man. So many egos in the NBA. You look at Ray Allen, how he took to coming off the bench for Boston. So many of these guys don't want to come off the bench because their egos are high. Lou Williams is a proven bench scorer, a guy who's happily coming off the bench, led the Philadelphia 76ers in scoring by coming predominantly off the bench. I think if Nicholas Batum falls through, I think you definitely have to look at Lou Williams. I don't really know where he's going yet. Obviously, I think the Batum thing is going to kind of set the market for his value. He doesn't seem like he's in a rush, so that's a good situation for the Timberwolves. I think we're definitely still in on Lou Williams.
If it's not Lou Williams, maybe it could be your guy, a guy that Minnesota Timberwolves fans are way too familiar with, O.J. Mayo. He's the guy that got us Kevin Love, and I think we may have came out on the better end of that deal, Brett Cloutier. 18 points a game in 08-09 and 09-10, but he only averaged 12 points a game. It seems impossible to say, oh, well, his better years are behind him, being a 23-year-old. But, Brett, O.J. Mayo, maybe it's the situation in Memphis, whatever it could be. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. Maybe that could be here.
That's good. You know, you look at a guy like Chauncey Billups, you know, he changed his scenery. It was great for him. Some guys get a change of scenery, and they just really kind of find themselves with basketball players. But, nice little segue, we looked at how Lou Williams is the guy who accepts his role of coming off the bench, being that sixth man and torching second units. O.J. Mayo, guy who didn't go over too well coming off the bench. Had a solid season in 2009-2010. His first year coming off the bench, or 2010-2011. This past season, didn't do so well. Obviously shoots the ball well, doesn't guard great. His name's really kind of fizzled out with Timberwolves rumors. I don't see him coming here. I don't think he wants to be here. I think we're probably 7th or 8th on his ideal wish list, and that's never a good thing if you're going to throw maybe $22 million at a guy for over 3 years.
And as I sip my soda that I'm sure somebody spit.
Anything else catch your eye from around the league before we leave for this week?
Other than the Timberwolves overpaying for Nicholas Batum, and now they might have to add in a player also to bring in a guy they overpaid for. No.
I'm Mike Gallagher. He is Brett Cloutier. The Dwight Howard rumors will continue. We'll be right on top of it, except since we're not getting in it, apparently, we don't care. I want Jason Richardson. I want anything out of this deal, but I don't think it's going to happen. We'll be like the eighth team involved, and who knows, it might take eight teams by the end of this. Nicholas Batum, Kevin Love, Lou Williams, this Courtney Lee, that O.J. Mayo, whatever. This was the backdoor cut. Timberwolves segment. It's it's kind of Timberwolves-centric, Brett Cloutier, over the national stuff, but that's okay. You can find this, bringmethenews.com or on KFAN.com under the on-air section. Saturday's the Sauce page. Our backdoor cut play that we drew up is right where you'll see it. You can play it from there, play it from our Facebook page, the backdoor cut on KAUG. That was before KFAN gave us a very lucrative contract so long ago.
Contract not lucrative, nor a contract.
No, that's disease, unfortunately. But you can also find us on the backdoorcut.podomatic.com. Where can you follow us on Twitter, Brett Cloutier?
For those of you that are just tuning into the Backdoor Cut for the first time on bringmethenews.com, you can follow myself, Brett Cloutier, at my name, BRETTCLOUTIER, twitter.com, or my co-host, Mike Gallagher, intern Mike, _Galley21. Galley, note, is spelled with two L's. Deuces.
Wolves will make news, and we'll talk about it next week.
That was 2 hours with you, which is probably the reason why I've had enough tonight. Time out.
You're already hot and sweaty on most shows.
This is the only better show than mine, Saturdays with Sauce, but this is the Backdoor Cut.
What?
You know, I started to tear up. I'm not too mad enough to say that I almost cried.
Oh! You see a lot of people who maybe aren't progressing. This is like Christmas, except it's better than Christmas.
What? Okay, bye-bye.